09 hours Greenwich Mean Time. BBC World Service, the news read by David Legg. Fighting has intensified between rival factions in the Somali capital Mogadishu, forcing many civilians to flee. Thousands of refugees have been streaming back into Rwanda from camps in Tanzania. The British Foreign Secretary is having talks in Cyprus as part of a growing international effort to end divisions on the island. The sudden outbreak of fighting in the Somali capital Mogadishu has sharply worsened. For the first time since the civil war 4 years ago, heavy artillery bombardments have broken out across the city, and some civilians are reported to be fleeing. Witnesses say shells and mortar bombs fell in several areas, including the main markets. Up to 100 people are thought to have been killed since the clashes started on Friday. The fighting is between the faction led by Hussein Aidid and opponents backing rival clan and faction leaders, including Ali Mahdi Mohammed and Osman Ali Atto. The city is crowded because many people arrived from outlying areas in search of food and water after the expected rains failed to materialize. Large numbers of Rwandan refugees are continuing to stream across the border from Tanzania. Officials of the United Nations Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, say they counted 15,000 Hutu refugees crossing into Rwanda in the 3.5 hours after the border opened at Rusumo at dawn. The UNHCR estimated at around 25,000 the total number of refugees who crossed from Tanzania yesterday. A BBC correspondent in the northwest Tanzania says the authorities there are using a helicopter to spot refugee groups still attempting to evade repatriation. Reports say a large contingent of Hutu militiamen, who are said to have been intimidating the refugees, was seen from the air jogging in formation away from the border. The British Foreign Secretary, Malcolm Rifkind, who is in Cyprus for talks aimed at encouraging a settlement of the long-standing conflict between the island's Greek and Turkish communities, has met the Greek Cypriot President, Glafklos Klarithis. Mr. Rifkind said he was encouraged by the meeting and hoped that next year would bring an important breakthrough in Cyprus. But he also expressed concern at the militarization of the island and said there was a dangerously high quantity of weapons held by both sides. Mr. Rifkind was later meeting the leader of the Turkish Cypriot community, Rauf Denktaş. A BBC correspondent in Cyprus says diplomatic efforts to bring the two sides together are now intense, with the United States saying Cyprus is a priority. A court in South Korea has rejected an appeal by two former presidents who were convicted of treason and mutiny earlier this year, but has commuted the death sentence passed on one of them. The former president, Chun Doo-hwan, now faces life imprisonment for his role in a coup in 1979 and military action the following year in which hundreds of people were killed. Chun's successor, No Tae-woo, had his 22-year jail sentence cut to 17 years. Both men were found guilty earlier this year for their roles in the coup and the brutal suppression of pro-democracy protests in 1980 in the city of Gwangju. The BBC Seoul correspondent says the decision to reduce the sentences will be a controversial one, even though very few people had expected the death penalty to be carried out. The Israeli and Palestinian leaders have spoken by telephone in the first contact they've had for many weeks. The BBC Jerusalem correspondent says it was an attempt to pull back from the brink amid mounting tension over Israel's decision to offer new financial incentives to Jewish settlers in the West Bank. Israel Radio said the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat phoned the Israeli Prime Minister Mr. Netanyahu after Mr. Netanyahu had sent two senior envoys to him. The radio said both leaders expressed regret over recent shootings. Mr. Netanyahu said he delivered a message of peace. Federal regulators in the United States will today begin studying the proposed merger of the American aircraft manufacturers Boeing and McDonnell Douglas. If it goes ahead, it will create the world's biggest aerospace and defense company with more than 200,000 employees and sales of about $50 billion a year. And that's the end of the news.